Well, I've known Jeff Goodman a long time, and welcome everybody to our Saturday morning podcast. He is now based in Boston. He has covered last couple of decades, NBA, college, high school, draft. Somebody that I always take very seriously when it comes to the NBA draft and these young players and the inner workings of the combine. Jeff Goodman is now joining us, basketball analyst for the Stadium. Jeff, how are you?
What's up, Colin? How are you, man?
I'm great. A couple of NBA questions first before I get to the draft, because I think it's a fascinating draft for a lot of reasons. Number one, you're based in Boston, which gives you a kind of step up on the Kyrie stuff, because when you live in a city, you just hear more things. What are you hearing about Kyrie Irving's future this summer?
I'd be surprised if he stays in Boston. I mean, it just, again, you see his body language. You hear enough smoke, you know there's something going on here. And obviously Kyrie's kind of moody. He's got a tight inner circle. So I'm not sure how much validity some of it has. But again, I don't expect him to be in Boston. You could see it even in the locker room and with his teammates that they almost don't know how to take to Kyrie Irving. I've known him a long time, Colin, and honestly, he's become tough to like. He has. I mean, obviously an elite-level talent, but we saw it in the playoffs. He kind of got swallowed up because he's not the most athletic dude in the world. And this group was far more entertaining to watch a year ago in the playoffs with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier. And, you know, I'm not sure how many people in Boston, including Danny Ainge, would be that unhappy if Kyrie Irving leaves.
Yeah, I think his personal behavior has become a little erratic as well. Raptors take game one. Kawhi Leonard's obviously remarkable. You, if I recall, the first time I ever read a story about Kawhi was from you, and he was at San Diego State. Do you remember the story?
I do. It was on his father, who was killed working at his car wash. And sophomore year, San Diego State, I go into the office, the sports information director's office, and it was supposed to be at noon. And it's the first national story. So most kids, when you do the first national story on them, they're waiting, right? I mean, they want this in the worst way because they want the attention. And noon comes, no Kawhi. 12:15, no Kawhi. 12:30, no Kawhi. Finally, the sports information director calls Kawhi at like 12:45. He says, you know, where are you? You know, we got a guy here. He's interviewing you. Kawhi said, well, you know, I'm with my cousin here at the Department of Motor Vehicles helping him get his license. So he came back like 15 minutes later. Did the interview, was great. You know, typical Kawhi, no emotion whatsoever. But again, respectful. And again, that's the day you realize, like, this dude is different. Like, he doesn't care about any of the attention. And it has stuck with him. And you gotta respect it. You got to love it. Even though as a reporter, you know, you don't like it because he's not the most quotable guy in the world. But, man, he plays hard every time he's on the court. And I felt bad, like last year, he got hit so hard, but I think most of it was listening to his uncle and maybe not, you know, he's kind of naive, right? He's naive. He just wants to play ball.
Yeah, no, I get that. Jeff Goodman, basketball analyst, Stadium, is joining us. I want to talk about the draft and specifically four players, Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, R.J. Barrett, and Darius Garland. Because if the teams retain their picks, Pelicans, Grizzlies, Knicks, Lakers, many presume those to be the top four. Zion Williamson, magnetism. My concern is ligaments, torque. He's so powerful. Yeah. Does he have to lose weight? I don't worry about his game. I don't think he's LeBron. I think that's ridiculous. I don't think we'll ever see LeBron. When you talk to NBA people, what's their biggest concern about Zion Williamson?
No, you hit it. You hit it, and that's been their concern for a year. But it's funny, a year ago at this time, like coming out of the McDonald's game and the practices, if you talk to NBA guys, most of them did not have Zion at number one or number two. It was R.J. Barrett and even Cam Reddish ahead of Zion at that point. But that the biggest thing that they realized with Zion this year was his skill level, number one, that he wasn't just an athletic freak, but also that he played so hard all the time. And he played with that enthusiasm. So he's so likable, plays hard on both ends, but you hit it. I mean, 285 pounds, playing the way he plays.
Yes.
With that type of pounding on your body, that's what the NBA people are worried about. The spacing, is going to be better for him, obviously.
Yeah, I actually think he's going to do well because centers now are European. You know, they're not big, trunky guys, and you can really jam people under the basket in college. I think the NBA actually works for him real well.
Yeah, there's no doubt he's going to be tough, especially at Duke. He had no shooters around him. So, like, the spacing was terrible with that team. Wherever he goes, whether it's New Orleans or whatever, he'll have enough shooters around him. They'll put enough shooters around him to make it so he can operate in more space. He's going to be tough to match up with. But I'm not sure he's going to be the best pro coming out of this draft. I'm not sure.
Well, a lot of people like Ja Morant, who I think is Westbrook, but a more natural, fluid passer and a better shooter. And then there's R.J. Barrett. So let's talk about those two. You know, Barrett to me is going to be a scorer. You know, and I'll just tell you, I think he can shoot. I think he'll fill it up. I think he's like a really, really good Rodney Hood who lacks confidence, but R.J. doesn't. I don't know who's better. Could I make the argument that Ja Morant and R.J. Barrett, it just depends on what you need. If you need a point, you'd take Ja. And if you need a wing score, which almost everybody does, you'd take R.J. Barrett. In your talks with scouts, are these guys battling and just these two battling for the next pick?
No, I think now they were. Listen, again, RJ was the clear number one going into the year.
Right.
Then he became number two pretty quick. Like in a month, Zion got the number one spot. And then it took another month or two before I think Ja Morant passed him. Because like you said, he's got Westbrook's gear, right? But you put Westbrook's gear with Mike Conley's vision and ability to find people and make people better. There aren't a lot of guys like that in the NBA. And again, the point guard position was so strong maybe 5 years ago. It hasn't become quite as strong. I think Ja Morant will be top five point guard in the league within 3 years.
Wow. Now, you like R.J. Barrett?
Like him. Don't love him. I think he could be a high-volume, low-efficiency type guy in the league. I mean, great body control. I think he's going to work in his game. He's a very mature kid. So I think his shot will get more consistent because, again, I think he will work and become an above-average shooter. But I think he's clearly number three. And I think, you know, if you put him on the Knicks and somehow you put some combination of – and I heard you talking a little bit about KD and AD together. Even if it's KD and Kemba or KD and Kyrie, whatever combination, I think R.J. Barrett would be a really good number three guy. But, again, he's got to learn how to play without the ball in his hand.
I see in your mock draft you have Darius Garland, Vanderbilt 4. I don't know a ton about him. Didn't see him a lot.
Yeah, he's a freshman. He only played 5 games and then was out for the year with a knee injury. Winston Garland's son.
And
Winston Garland was like a journeyman in the NBA for a long time.
Now, but Garland...
I don't know if he's the best point guard, Colin. I think Coby White might be a better point guard. They're completely different. Coby White, the freshman out of Carolina, who's not a natural point like Garland. Garland's like a... like a poor, poor man's Chris Paul.
Yeah, I mean, his YouTube stuff is impressive. Who do you think the Lakers would take it? Because they have Lonzo Ball, and they do have LeBron, who has the ball. If you were the Lakers and had the 4, and Zion, Ja Morant, and R.J. Barrett are off the board, would you go for a DeAndre Hunter, the Virginia kid?
Listen, you know my history with the Ball family.
No.
And I love Lonzo.
So you like
the ball? My history with the Ball family, yeah. My history with the Ball family, other than Lonzo, is not great. But I love Lonzo. I think he plays the game the right way. I think he's been hurt, and I don't think you've surrounded him with what he needs to be surrounded with your shooters. Like Lonzo Ball is not going to be effective if you don't put shooters around him. So to me, if you don't do that, you might as well ship him out. But I would still think you can build around Lonzo Ball as long as you add enough shooters. Now, DeAndre Hunter is a guy that in the championship game showed he's not an alpha dog, but, man, he's a great defender, like elite-level defender. He can make shots. He's not, again, he's not going to be a number one on a team or anything like that, but I think he can be. I think at the 4th spot, Colin, there's a drop-off to where you may not get a star. You're dealing with DeAndre Hunter, Jarrett Culver, Texas Tech, and then the 2 point guards, like you said, Garland and Coby White. And maybe Cam Reddish. Listen, Cam Reddish, I'd look at him if I were the Lakers. He's like Rudy Gay. You know, you want more out of him all the time, but man, is he talented.
This Father's Day, Tommy John is reminding you that their quick draw fly saves guys 217 minutes of unnecessary fumbling per year. So instead of fly fishing in the bathroom, dad can spend more time out on the water. Whether it's your father, brother, husband, give the gift of life-changing comfort this Father's Day with Tommy John. They use lightweight, breathable underwear in limited edition outdoorsy prints. And colors are perfect for everything from fishing trips to weekend getaway. Plus, for guys more likely to recline than cast a line, they've created exclusive Father's Day gift set featuring loungewear, apparel, additional underwear styles. So comfortable, you won't believe it. Make sure you grab your gifts early. They're limited edition collections, and they'll sell out. Go to TommyJohn.com/herd, 20% off your first order. Plus, find out how you can get free expedited shipping and guaranteed Father's Day delivery on orders placed by June 12th. That's code HERD for 20% off at TommyJohn.com. Jeff Goodman, formerly of ESPN, CBS Sports, worked here at Fox Sports, covered basketball last couple of decades, all three levels, NBA, college, and high school. The New York Knicks are interesting because, you know, Gail Benson owns the Pelicans and the Saints. And there are varying reports, but most indicate she'd prefer not to send Anthony Davis to Los Angeles. Keep him out of the West. Don't want to see him more. And frankly, the Lakers leaked some stories and made the Pelicans look very second rate at the trading deadline. So, you know, my understanding is if the Lakers can get Anthony Davis, they're going to have to win the trade, not just, you know, they're going to have to give a surplus over a New York. My gut feeling is Anthony Davis would go to New York, and that's where Rich Paul may be limited to send him. Your thoughts on that? And if that's the case, that tells me the Knicks would have to give up their number three pick to get Anthony Davis. Would R.J. Barrett and Zion work together? Do they get along?
They did work together. It's funny. I mean, I didn't think they would because I thought R.J. would be very jealous. And I'm not sure he'd want to play with Zion again and have to kind of accept being second fiddle when he thought he was going to be the guy at Duke this past year. Here's my thoughts with David Griffin and the Pelicans. Do you want picks or players? If you want picks, you're going to go to the Knicks, right? You can get their pick this year. You might be able to get their pick next year, which will be a high pick. If you want players, you got to go Lakers or maybe even Boston. I mean, I think you see what you can get in a bidding war here. The problem is if you're Boston, you have the players to give up. But are you confident, and you're not making the deal unless you are, that Anthony Davis stays in Boston? And what do you – I wouldn't give up Jason Tatum. I'd give up anything else. I mean, Horford, Jaylen Brown, you know, Marcus Smart, every pick you have. I give it all up, and I'd say, let's go in. Even if Kyrie leaves, I'll go in with Anthony Davis. I'll go in with Tatum. I'll go in and hope that Gordon Hayward gets a little bit healthier next year, and then I re-sign Rozier, and I bring back Marcus Morris, and I roll the dice on that. But I think the Lakers have a good group of young players they can throw in there. I just don't know if any of them, again, are at the level of what Boston could throw out. If Boston throws Jason Tatum out, I think that's the deal you got to make if you're David Griffin. But again, all with the caveat that Anthony Davis would stay in Boston long term.
Jeff Goodman joining us. When being that you are in Boston, the Danny Ainge, Brad Stevens, there wasn't a fracturing of it, but there is a sense, maybe there's a narrative that, you know, Brad Stevens doesn't deal with stars well. Do you buy
Kyrie.
That? Do you
Kyrie. Buy it? I don't know if anybody can deal with Kyrie. I said that about Rondo, too. You know, I think he's, you know, they got rid of Rondo quickly in Boston, and I thought that was the right move for Brad. But I don't know who Kyrie's going to respect at the end of the day as a coach. I think he thinks he's smarter than everybody. So I think you could have put John Wooden. I think you could have put Phil Jackson. I think you could put Red Auerbach in front of Kyrie. I'm not sure it would have mattered. And that's why I feel, I don't know about you, but don't you find it comical, these people that are saying that Kyrie's going to go back to L.A. and play with LeBron again?
Yeah, I
really?
Don't buy that at all.
Come on.
I don't buy
–
first
no
of all, he's chance. Always been an East Coast kid.
Yeah, right. That's part of it. And the other part is, you really think he wants to be the little boy again to LeBron? He did that. He didn't want it.
Yeah. Is there – I'll throw you a player out. This is who I am told is the NBA sleeper in the draft. Jackson Hayes from Texas. The
Love him.
Okay, so I've had two scouts tell me that in 4 years, he's going to be the second or third best player in this draft. Tell me about him.
So I saw him for the first time in November in Vegas at a tournament, and nobody had heard of him at that point, really. I mean, some of the recruiting guys had, but most people hadn't heard of him. He played like 5 minutes a game his junior year of high school. His dad's an NFL assistant coach, and he just never really played a lot of basketball. And I moved him into my mock draft right after that at like 20. And he's, to me, the lowest side for Jackson Hayes. He's big, he's strong, he's athletic. The low side is Clint Capela. But I think he can be way better in offensively. And he's so raw, but he's come so far in the span of really only playing the game for a couple of years. I agree. I think he could be the third or fourth best player to come out of this draft and an elite level big man.
All right, give me your mock drafts. Pelicans number one draft.
Zion, no doubt.
Memphis number two drafts.
Ja Morant.
Knicks number three get.
RJ Barrett.
Lakers go.
DeAndre Hunter, but I think the Lakers could move it. I really do. I think the Lakers will move it.
And for those that don't know a ton about DeAndre Hunter, he's the Virginia kid. He's 21 years old. He played very well. More offense, and people don't know if he's a one. He's more of a two, right?
No, he's actually more of like a 2-3-4 and can guard multiple positions. He's that
Jimmy
long,
Butler? Is he Jimmy Butler?
No, because Jimmy Butler was always a killer. The big knock on Hunter was, does he have Jimmy Butler in him? Does he have any Jimmy Butler in him? Is he too nice a kid?
Wow.
That's the knock on Hunter. That's the knock. And that's why it's Hunter and Culver. It's like, what do you do there, and what do you do between Garland and Kobe White? So it's like those two wings, Hunter and Culver, and the two point guards, Garland and Kobe White. And then, like you said, Jackson Hayes, Cam Reddish, those guys probably round out your top nine in some order. The guy I think is kind of underrated, a couple guys that are underrated for me, Rui Hachimura, I think, could go in the top 10 somewhere from Gonzaga. Romeo Langford, another one. And Mfondo Cabangeli, I love. He's a kid, look forward to move up.
By the way, Kevin Knox, a lot of people have bailed on him from the Knicks. He's a kid. He was like, I think he was like 17 when he got drafted. What is your takeaway on Knox? I always give, when a kid comes out into the league out of high school, I think it takes him a year to emotionally figure the league out. Forget physically, just emotionally, the travel, the amount of games. You have to play real defense. Defense is much more sophisticated at an NBA level, the coaching. What do you make of Kevin Knox with the Knicks? Some are bailing on him already.
No, good piece. Good piece. I don't think he's ever going to be a star, but I think he's a guy that can average, 13, 14 points a game in the NBA. He'll be a good piece, especially, again, like if you're the Knicks and you sign, KD and you, like, I would rather, and I know people probably think I'm crazy for saying this, but I would rather, if you give me a choice with KD for the Knicks, give me Kemba. Give me Kemba. I know people say, well, what's he won? Well, he hasn't had a whole hell of a lot in Charlotte, let's be honest. But that kid is all about team. Everybody wants to play with Kemba. If he went to New York, which is home for him, I think he could handle the pressure better. I mean, imagine Kyrie can't handle it here in Boston. How is he going to handle everything in New York when things don't go well, which they're going to be up and down?
Jeff Goodman, Saturday podcast. Great talking to you. And if you're out in L.A., give me a call.
Man, good to hear from you, and we'll talk soon.